All right, we can get started. Welcome. So I'm Ken Rosenthal, Vice President of North Shore Give. And North Shore Give is doing this in collaboration with PHCA, Prince Hohanalei Community Association, which we thank. Mahalo to Brian and Patty, Director Milet, and my better half.
Thanks, Ken. Good evening, everyone. Thank you very much for coming and having this conversation with our mayor candidates this evening. Couple things. I'll give you an overview of what the format will be for this forum. Okay, so here's how it's going to roll this evening. When the candidates arrived, they each picked a number from 1 to 6. That is their number for the evening. One to six. And that'll make sense in a moment here. So the first thing they'll do is 2 minutes of introductions for each of them. I feel like my backside is to you, and that would be rude. Okay, so they'll each have 2 minutes to introduce themselves. I will pick a number out of the box that is on that table over there. That is the sequence of the introductions that the candidates will do. So 2 minutes for their introductions. Then I will pick a number as we roll into the questions for those submitted from the audience and also from those who are joining us via Zoom. I'll pick a number, and again, that is the number of the candidate who will then answer the question that has been submitted. So we don't know what the question is at this moment. We don't know what candidate will get the question. It'll all flow fairly quickly, and you'll see how it'll roll. Yeah, it's kind of a roll of the dice, so it's random, right? For all fairness, we are hoping to roll through so that each candidate has at least 2 to 3 questions that each of them will answer, and we are hoping we can still do this in time so the candidates will have 2 minutes to answer the questions. And then have time at the end after the Q&A to mingle. For those of us who are here in person, you can ask your questions personally to candidates if you wish, while we ha enjoy some light refreshments. Thank you again for coming this evening. All right, aloha. First up for the introduction is going to be Felicia Cowden.
Aloha. Aloha, I'm Felicia Cowden. Many of you, most of you in the room know me. We're on the North Shore. I've lived on the North Shore for 42 years. I feel like I understand a lot of the challenges that we have up here. And what most of you know, we have the hardest economy on the island, highest cost of housing, and typically the lowest average income. And we have the hardest time being able to find employees to open the bank or fix the road or whatever we need. We have that difficulty. So I'm very sensitive to how the property taxes impact us, all kinds of things like that. What you're going to find with me in my mayoralship will be a sense of abundance and grace where the government is partnering with the people again. It's less about controlling your behavior, more about how we're going to really solve the problems together. Because we usually up here run into the hard parts first. So, but what are the hard parts and what are we're all gonna, you're gonna hear from all of us. Our infrastructure completely needs revamping, exhausted almost all of it from water to wastewater to sewer and solid waste. We've got to work on all of those things. Affordability of housing. In a short moment, it's hard to go through the whole list. Bernard and I were just at a place that was really good this week looking at how we can pre-manufacture on the islands, bring houses for those additional dwelling units and simple affordable units. We have that. And then really our biggest piece is community displacement. So I think you'll hear from all of us different ways that we're going to work to have that happen. But I know that we can make it happen. Did I hit my time? No. Okay. Okay. All right. Oh, I have more. Okay. I thought I heard I was supposed to stop. You can hear from me at any. You can always call me to pick my card up. You got my phone number, my website, and I always show up for people. I have worked full time throughout all 8 years, out there 70 to 80 hours a week, and I will continue to be there for you.
Aloha kakou. Hello, everyone. My name's Michaela Widener. I moved to Kauai in 2015. I came from the mainland, yes. I grew up in a small town of Pawnee, Oklahoma, where we had one stoplight and there was 23 people in my graduating class. I got adopted by the Pawnee tribe there, and that didn't happen just because. It happened through action. People don't just trust somebody. You earn their trust. And I earned their trust through accomplishments that I made while I was in town. One of the things that I did when we first moved to Pawnee when I was in eighth grade was I took a Pawnee history class because I wanted to learn the history of where I lived. But little did I know that that was all about the Pawnee Nation tribe, and it was a language class. And I became the best student, and I was made an example of in front of everyone. Mr. Horse Chief stood in front of the class, and he said to everybody, "Shame on you. You're gonna let this white girl do better than you in your own culture? Don't you have any pride?" And he looked at me and he said, "Don't take it easy on them." So I didn't. And they also made fun of me a lot, but they respected me because I took the jokes and I went along with it. I showed humility in the moment where I needed to, and I showed leadership in the moments where I needed to. I didn't let anything stop me from accomplishing anything that I set out to accomplish. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard the words, "You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't run for mayor." You know what I have to say to anybody that tries to put limitations on me? Watch me. I'm here today because after talking with certain council members and trying to learn about how we could get more community oriented businesses started, I learned about landfill crisis and this crisis and that crisis. And I felt like I didn't have a candidate I wanted to vote for. So that's why I'm running.
You're right. You are finished.
Aloha. My name is Magesa William Dennis, and I'm going to be your next mayor. I stand for you, the people, and I stand with the people. I'm a non-politician. My background is business management, accounting and commerce, biotechnology manufacturing. It's also a life coach. I'm also an athletic coach. So I have a diverse background, both domestic and international. My platform is people first and Kauai first. We're tired of government controlling us at every turn. It's time for the people to take back the authority of this island. We have all the resources, the talent, and the people here to move forward. They say, "Well, you have no political background." Well, working for a Fortune 500 company as operations manager for the business systems division, we're involved in politics at every level. We're involved in regulatory compliance, mergers and acquisitions, labor dispute issues, union and non-union. We're also involved in customer relations. But most of all, we have to produce results. What I've seen in my 14 years here is we keep repeating the same mistakes. We throw money at the problem. Money is not the solution. The people are the solution. So I listen to the people. I work with the people because I built organizations from the area level to the regional level to the national level for the whole mainland. And when I came here, I really didn't expect to be in politics. But after seeing similarities to what was taking place in the mainland, I said, "I have to step forward." And by the grace of God, I stand before you today because I believe in decentralization. We're tired of government, like I said, running the whole show. We can break this down. We have six mokus on this island, 70 Aupuas who are self-sufficient. My time's up. Thank you.
Laura's next.
Can stand up. I'm sitting down. Long time today. So this is supposed to be my intro. So I don't live here. You don't know me. I'm from Wailua. My ohana is from Ele'ele. Most of you probably don't even pass Lihue. So, unless you show me the red dirt in your car, I'll have to explain that side. I am the mother of 14. Grandmother of 18. We have two on the way. We count them as soon as they're conceived. I've worked a few decades for St. Catherine's School and St. Catherine Church. Out here at St. William is where my oldest daughter was married. We summer every year at Anini. We used to summer all summer. Then they made us only summer 2 weeks, and now they only let you summer camp for 1 week. One of the biggest challenges I see in this community is a lot of people aren't happy. And then you guys also have like a whole bunch of transient people that come and go and come and go. And there's a handful of you that are carrying the load for the community. That's what I've seen. When I go out to St. William Church, there's like five people that are steady Fridays and everybody else is a visitor. That is a big load that we as community carry. County of Kauai could efforts better and maybe help strengthen some of the ties that you already have. You guys are doing amazing things with your Hanalei initiatives and your preparedness. It's more than what other communities have done. And it's very encouraging, but we need to do our resiliency hubs throughout the island because of the way that our roads are, because of the way that our water is with our disconnected water. There's no redundancy. If we have fire emergencies, we will call the fire department. Thank you.
I know 2 minutes goes fast. Bernard's next. You don't need.
I need to stand up.
Okay, good evening and aloha. Bernard Carvalho, very special place for me. My ohana actually come from Kalalau Valley. My great-grandfather was Ko'ohana Hanopa. They were the last to come out of Kalalau Valley. So I share that with you for tonight. But more than importantly, my experience overall in sharing and my type of leadership. I spent 17 years as a civil servant within our county government in the Parks and Recreation. So I have that level of understanding. Then I became a department head for 6 years in the Office of Community Assistance and then creating the Department of Parks and Recreation. And then I had the opportunity to serve as mayor for 10 years and then now as council member for 6 years. So I bring to the table a wealth of understanding, but knowing that today is different than yesterday. I'm open to all the new discoveries, new challenges we have today, but I bring to the table a wealth of understanding and knowledge. My style of leadership is very open and collaborative. Everything that we do, we reach out into the community, bring the information back, and action, place it into action. I have good relationships at the federal, state, county levels, in all different levels. And so I really look forward. I've been approached by numerous people throughout our community. If I'd be willing to serve again, talk to the wife, right here, 41 years married. And 6 grandbabies. And so I have the ohana part with me as well. So that's a solid foundation. But no, I'm really ready to serve once again with my understanding, with knowing the differences of today than yesterday. But know that I have the experience, the understanding, the background to connect everything and come back with results. And we can share that later. But I just really feel the opportunity is here to serve once again. And again, we work very closely in all the different parts of our island. And I can share some of the other things that were coming up. But for me, that's where I'm at. And I look forward to serving once again and look forward to your support. Aloha.
Last but not least, Mel.
Thank you. Thanks for the North Shore Given, Princeville Community Association, for hosting this. And thank you. Thank you all for being here. My name is Mel Raposo, born and raised here on Kauai. My wife, Patsy, is back there, 37 years married today. Our two kids, one is in Portland, one is in Houston, simply because they can't afford to live here. And that's one of the reasons I've decided to run. My background is I was in law enforcement. I was a police officer here, served out here for numerous years in the Hanalei substation as a patrol officer, then started my own business, had a private investigative firm, and a pawn shop. And then got involved in politics in 2002. I got elected to my first term 24 years ago, but this is my 18th year serving as a council. Important because the council chair gets elected by their peers. And I think that says a lot about leadership when your peers elect you unanimously as your chair. So I think that's important. Why am I running for mayor is simple. It's because there are limitations to what council members can do. We're legislative in nature, unlike many municipalities on the mainland where you have a city manager or a county manager that the council elects. or appoints. The council controls the actions and the execution of the plans and programs in the counties. Here, that's not the case. The council can, they approve the budget and they pass laws, but they don't have the executive authority to implement programs. So for 18 years, I have been pounding the drum on our wastewater issues, our solid waste issues, our water issues. And as you know, today, we are struggling with those crises. I cannot do any more as a council member. I have hit the ceiling. And the only way we can create the change that is needed on this island for me is to become the mayor. And that is what my plan is, and I hope I can get your support. There's a lot of work to do. My style of government is really holding people accountable and being responsive to the community, which is lacking right now. And that is what I plan to restore back into this county. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Question.
How do you plan to deal with our houseless population?
We have more than one type of houseless situation. We have the homeless, we have the unemployed houseless, we have the employed houseless, and we have the kapuna. But everything stems from the economy and the cost of living. I'm surprised when Mel says the county council has no power. We pay them $490,000 a year. I would hope they'd be able to at least know the law. But during COVID, they didn't know the law. And it put 40% of our small businesses out, destroyed homes, a lot of foreclosures. So a lot of people have left the island. So to get the people back into affordable housing, we need to also change our education system, which you mentioned, add to it with project-based learning, vocational learning centers, stewardship programs, internships. And what we need is food independence and island independence. We need money not going outside. We need money to stay inside where people can afford housing. We have a population of 73,000 people. We have 31,000 homes, 2.4 people per household, right? We have a $504 million budget with $378 million goes to salaries, wages, benefits, and pensions. That only leaves $126 million for housing, infrastructure, and whatever. We need to look at that closely. We need government reform. We need budget review. We need performance accountability. And we need community awareness. So it all starts with the people staying here. We don't need to go outside. So housing can be made affordable with $100,000 homes, not $400,000. To have a $400,000 home, you have to make $120,000 or more per year per household. That's not attainable. The lowest wage is $35,000. They can't even afford a $100,000 home.
Thank you. Should give a 1 minute cutoff time. Warning. Bernard, as mayor, how will you delegate to your managing director?
Delegating to my managing director, which is a very important role as far as I'm concerned, we're concerned. But know that the people, first of all, the internal team will have total access to my managing director. The people will have access to my managing director. The managing director, we need to know how important it is in our style of leadership is to reach out, listen, be heard. What we did in the past, we always brought our entire team out to every part of our island. I wanted our people to meet the team, meet our managing director along with all the department heads, hear from the people, voice your opinions. We bring everything back internally, we separate it out, and we put action on the table, action with aloha. So I think that's an important part. You need to understand that whoever is my managing director is going to be the person that has direct contact to key leaders within our community to addressing some of the needs collaboratively. Collaboration, cooperation, and coordination. Those are the top three for me. And making sure that they have your voices are heard. Believe me, and that's my style of leadership to assure that our team reaches out, listens, and brings back. I don't want to sound repetitious, but I go in because it's very important to me that you know that our leadership team will reach out and your voices will be heard as we continue to move forward and put it into action, and action with aloha. Thank you.
Hanalei School's enrollment and staffing challenges are largely being driven by the North Shore housing crisis and cost of living crisis. While long-term housing solutions are important, long-term students are being impacted right now by the difficulty of recruiting and retaining teachers, educators, and other staff. Where's the question? If elected mayor, what immediate actions will you take to retain qualified educators before housing development becomes a reality?
That's a really good question, and that's difficult to answer for me. I think one of the good ideas would be to help strengthening homeschooling as well. I know that there's a lot of people who want more options for homeschooling as well as private charter schools. But as far as retaining teachers because of our housing issue, that is very difficult. And I know that there are a lot of contracts through PRMF that do have support for housing and urban development. And it's about getting those contracts from PMRF into our local general contractors' hands. And being, I would have to work with county council on zoning on the North Shore because it is very restrictive if we wanted to try to get housing, more housing for people in that area. I think another thing that we can do is maybe try to petition the state about what our Airbnb rules are. I think if a lot more renters could do Airbnb, that would keep people in homes longer. And that would also give teachers who are looking for jobs out here somewhere to live that's affordable. And it's really just looking at all of these laws that we have through the state and seeing what we can do to relax some of those laws to help people be able to afford to live out here, especially on the North Shore, where zoning is very limited. And I think that that could maybe be our best effort, is we're going to have to get very creative about how we want to solve these issues. There's no black or white way, but there are certain loopholes that we could take advantage of or that we can create.
Thank you. Laura, what is the role of the mayor in the executive process? What is the role of the mayor in the executive process?
In the words of my, I was going to say Donald Trump, I'm the boss. But no, but it's to plan, you know, what's good for Kauai. That's basically it. And to provide the leadership necessary, connect all the parts. We have a lot of disconnected parts, but we have a lot of really amazing parts. Just going around the island, we have really, really amazing parts. Nonprofits, community organizations all working together, churches all working together. But our connective tissue got broken during COVID. We used to be more connected. We used to be better organized. And ideally what I would like the county to do is do what it's supposed to do and enable and empower our communities and for us to stay out of the way. I hope you never have to call me. I hope like all the bathrooms are clean and the roads are clear and your toilets flush and your water's clean. I hope to make all those things happen. I can't make it happen without you, but ideally I want to see us just do what we're supposed to and stay out of your way and help you and then empower you to be successful.
Alicia, in what way are you protecting Voter Rights Act?
I'm Felicia Cowden. Thank you for that question. It's a little bit open. I think that that might be addressing the fact that we had some voting irregularities since we've had the mail-in ballots. And so that is a very big concern. I have watched the Elections Commission's meetings. I've paid attention to what is happening. It's a little tough as an elected official. Is that the alert? Well, I'll just start where I'm at right there. We'll wait for those things to... So I actually was pretty involved in looking at the chain of custody discussion, and it is a challenge because it's machines that count the votes. And for us as an elected official, where we are working absolutely through the county clerk and the deputy county clerk, it's hard for us to be necessarily holding them accountable when it is really, it's at the state level that the bigger challenge is. But what I guess I would say in short on that is that I am aware that we have had inconsistent patterns in how our votes are being counted when we have 10% overage. And then maybe it's a little less, but there shouldn't be any, we shouldn't count any more votes than we receive. And that has been a problem. And it's a little bit above the pay grade of a council person. Do try and bring the issue up. And then as mayor, if I was mayor, I would be actually standing on it a lot firmer, because the county clerk and the deputy county clerk did not have control over the mayor. Where in the council, they have control over what we can do and what we can't do. The chair of the council can to affect it more than a council person, but very, very aware of what's happened. And hopefully it'll get corrected at the state level. That's where the bigger problem is, but I'm watching.
So bad. Okay, Mel. Economy and jobs. Beyond tourism, what industry or economic opportunity should Kauai prioritize to create more local jobs?
Thank you. Good question. The obvious answer, the low-hanging fruit is ag. I mean, agriculture, I think we have the land, we have the history, the culture. That is one that I am seriously considering creating our own Department of Ag in the county level. Because we need that energy and resources applied to that. The other industry that is what I consider one that we are not taking advantage of is the film industry. Not the film industry that you think about when I say film industry, like the Hollywood films, but the small films. We have an amazing pool of talent here, mainly at the young middle school age that are learning these skills and are doing very well. And I've seen it with my own eyes. They've done the sporting events. They put these productions together that is incredibly professional, as well as Hoike, a great resource that is teaching our communities how to use the film, the cameras, how to edit. I see Kupuna in there. I go there every week, and they are so proud of their projects. And it's professional quality projects. Why aren't we the small film festival capital of the state? I believe we can be, and I think we need to really explore that. And for a couple of reasons. Number one is get our kids involved, but provide an avenue or a direction for our kids that can pursue a career that can keep them here on Kauai. Thank you.
Round two. Alicia, what are your key strengths as a candidate?
Thank you for that question. I would say my key strengths, Felicia Cowden, my key strengths are having more time in the private sector than I've had in the public sector. This is my eighth year as an elected official, so I've had enough time to really be able to experience what it is being in government, working with the federal government. We do a lot with the National Association of Counties, so state, federal, and local I have direct experience with as an elected official. My early background was in engineering. Most of you probably know Hanalei Surf Company. That was a business that I was deeply involved with and had ownership in for 18 years. I've also been a teacher, and then I've worked somewhat with the courts, not nearly as much as we have Pastor Raposo in the back here, so it's pretty awesome with that. But I've taught school 5 years. I have a lot of oversight on the different layers of what's here. And so I believe, especially as a former business owner, that I understand all these hurdles that are so difficult to make it through. And Magesu had brought up the COVID window. That was incredibly challenging and painful for business without really any opportunity for feedback. As mayor, I would have handled that quite a bit differently. And I saw, you're going to see, I really support small business. No problem with the big boxes, but they were allowed to be open when all the little small boxes had to close, and some too many very permanently. So I will have a lot of direct experience that way. And, you know, I care so much about the island, and I say my leadership style is people first leadership. And most of you know my phone is always answered, and I will always be there for you.
Okay. What work have you done or planned to do in terms of advocacy for suicide prevention and mental health?
I have a complex answer for that. And having spoken with the community, there is a huge want for more comprehensive mental health facilities out here. Now, one of the things that I've been talking about are community gardens, and what does that have to do with suicide prevention? That's part of a better mental health strategy where we get people outside working with their counselors and things like that. And a lot of the people that are struggling with this are houseless people. And part of my plan is instigating a circular closed loop economy. So that involves a lot of infrastructure and community development. And that's going to include tiny homes for the houseless with community gardens that are municipally owned, with municipal grocery stores and commercial kitchens, and residential pickup and recycling. And all of these things, they have to work together. You can't just have one. You need all of this. And that goes in line with these programs. So when we have this program for our houseless, that includes mental health and counseling, you need to give people a path where they feel connected and they're brought back into society. A lot of people, myself included, I didn't see my family for about 8 years. I definitely know what it's like to go through depression. And I'm sure that there's many of you in here that know somebody who's either survived domestic abuse or alcoholism or drug abuse, or you're related to somebody, or you have a friend or somebody that's been through that. And a lot of that stems from trauma. So this system that we're in creates trauma, and we're trying to address it at the source.
It was a tough one to read. What's that word? Okay. In regard to the Kilauea expansion project, will you support doing it right?
Yeah.
Oh, That's so much better. You know, 2 years ago, I didn't have to wear these. In regards to the Kilauea expansion project, will you support, quote, doing it right the first time with the wastewater treatment plant so it is originally built for and will survive the entire town, old and new, homes fully planned and funded before the building starts?
Yeah, that's kind of like a two-part question. Let me just say, one of the driving forces for me to run for mayor was our wastewater crisis. It really was, because it is in shambles, and we've never, you know, in the last 20 years, never received a sewer plan for the county of Kauai, specifically Kilauea. I don't think you can build the sewer or the wastewater treatment plant before you start building the construction of the property. I mean, it goes hand in hand. It's a parallel project. But I definitely agree and support, we got to do it right the first time. We're struggling with some projects right now on other parts of the island where we use a lot of Band-Aids rather than fixing the problem correctly to avoid the future emergency funding requests for the Band-Aids. So absolutely support doing it right the first time. But again, logistically, putting the wastewater treatment plant up before construction might not be practical. But I do agree that when we design a wastewater treatment plant for a facility like the expansion in Kilauea, that we should be taking that opportunity to provide a treatment plant that's going to service much more than the expansion project and the entire Kilauea community as well. Do it right the first time. Absolutely. Thank you.
Easier. What is your experience with natural disasters? What is the first thing you would do?
As you all know, we've had our share of natural disasters, and I was involved directly in that right here on this side of our beautiful island. And to me, natural disasters, of course, number one, assemble one solid team and get all the resources ready, this pre-disaster and post-disaster, right? So pre-disaster, we have a solid team in place. We have all the resources. We have all the connection. We have federal, state, and county connections. Everything is ready to go should there be a disaster. Now, disaster hits. What do you do after? So just sharing what happened here. We connected with the community. We connected with Nihau to bring the barge down this way when we had the major, major disaster right here in Hanalei. We connected. We walked every single house. I mean, as a leader, that's what I'm sharing with you. Post-disaster, pre-disaster is two things. Like I said, everything is in place. But when the disaster hits, you never know what the results are. As a leader, we got to be ready. So for me, it's really being able to react, be able to provide the resource, be able to provide a solid team, and know that the post-disaster is very important. And like I said, right down here in Hanalei, Haena, we pulled everybody together. We brought in a barge to make sure we got enough resources and supplies. We walked the pathways and all the houses just to connect with the community. And as leaders, as a team, as a mayoral team, this is what we do. And this is what I will continue to do. Disasters will hit. It's not if, it's when. It's how well we prepare and how well we react to each disaster, and knowing that we have the resources and the capability to assure that our people are safe and in the right place, knowing that we have the right opportunities, and I'm ready to lead there. Mahalo.
Cocoa palms. Can the continual redevelopment fiasco be stopped? I'm just reading the question.
Yes and no. Test. Yes and no. Kauai has a really bad habit of not paying attention to meetings, not showing up for meetings. And then when something starts, they beat the drum. It's like, when did this happen? Who approved this? How come? My disaster experience began in Iniki. I'm a certified disaster person, which doesn't sound right. I probably said that wrong. But there's private property rights. There's things. But so much has been allowed to continue and continue and continue. And it becomes like a legal, cultural pot of shit is basically what it is. And now somebody just put the burner on full blast because they got an additional $432 million. And now they're projecting that they're going to slam it through. Once upon a time, it was a beautiful resort. We get chance for hit the tourists crossing the highway every day. There's a lot of things that need to be addressed. Ideally, I wish we bought it after the hurricane, the county. I wish we bought it, turned it into a Hawaiian cultural park. Members of my family were there and almost got arrested. Members of my family were on the people with the marshals coming to arrest them. So I get it. I get it all around all the sides. And it is very complicated. I think as a government and as a people, we can come together. We can sit at the table with them and figure out what is the best way forward. Can we stop it? I don't think so. We've tried that for decades. But we can come together. Pow. No flat my tires.
Locals keep getting priced out. Why hasn't been price yet? Price fixed yet? I'm not sure that makes any sense. And what is your plan actually different than just talking?
That's a great question. Thank you. The reason the locals are getting priced out is because it's systematic. When the United Nations came and took control of our government in 2018, under the International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives, we lost our cultural identity. Everything has been under the control of the United Nations since then. They even have mayoral councils take place in Europe, where each mayor can go and talk about, give our whole data plan to the United Nations. We don't need outside help. We need our people to stay here. And we do that, as I said before, by developing our decentralized system. Just look at the MOCU concept. If we decentralized our waste management, for example, our landfill, we could alleviate a lot of pressure. We have 93,000 tons of waste. 35,000 is residential. So if we went to MOCU systems, we could develop MOCU resilient centers, wastewater centers, as well as disaster recovery centers, all in one place. So when you talk about disaster recovery and that, this will put people to work. It would employ about 70 people. We would use those Kaputa councils. Then we would use the Konahiki to manage the Ahupua'a system, which takes the forestry, the fisheries, and the wastewater and that. Then we break it down to neighborhood centers and even the homeowner. So when we look at the whole picture, we can employ people, put money in their pocket so they're not being priced out. And we become food independent and island independent. So we bring in business from outside that's going to improve your quality of life. Not the stakeholders' quality of life, your quality of life. And that goes down. The foundation is the people. So we build from the people on up. And that'll put more money in everyone's pocket, make it affordable for them to stay here as well. Thank you.
Who wants round three? Just wait for the bonus question. The bonus question, you'll love it. All right, Mel. Okay. What investments would you plan to make in our community parks and recreational areas? Is it possible to add shade over playgrounds?
Everything is possible if you got the money. That's just kind of what it boils down to. I think first step is getting a parks director that has the capacity and the ability to have the vision of a comprehensive, long-range park improvement plan. I think that is what's lacking. We are basically status quo going on. And again, you know, putting the band-aids over these facilities. I just had a text about a brand new playground that was put up in Kekaha that I was told, I haven't gone out there yet, that is dangerous for the keiki. I plan to go out there this week. It is all about planning. We still have restrooms I don't know about the women. I don't know. I've never been in a women's restroom, but on the men's side, where the commode and the urinal is in the same stall. What engineer would do that? And why, even after, as a council member, I've asked Parks to fix this in various administrations, why has that not been fixed? Because it's not a priority. So the Parks director is going to be, as Bernard said, his managing director is going to be rah, rah, rah. My Parks director is going to be busy. And he's going to have to have the competence and the desire to have a work ethic equal or more than mine, which is high, and be able to come up with these planning solutions for our restrooms across the island and playgrounds. It is simply lacking right now, and that is one of the areas on my priority list, but that comes with hiring the right people that can do the job. Thank you.
What are your top three conservation issues that you intend to tackle?
Conservation hasn't really been my main focus. My main focus has been just keeping people alive and trying to keep them safe. There's a lot of conservation land that could be better managed, certainly. There's a lot of area that we use that's not conservation per se that we just need to take better care of. But as far as priorities, I think we need to focus on getting people fed. We have over 30% food insecurity. I was late coming out here because I got an emergency phone call from immigration where the woman went to the shelter and was assaulted and then left and tried to go to the DV shelter, but she wasn't domestically violated. She was just violated, so she couldn't go there. So there's a lot of pain in our community. Maybe, I don't know if you guys see it. I see it. I stand outside my office every morning and I see them wake up and you can see what they look like with their backpacks and they're looking for food. They're looking through the trash. Like, we need to take care of first things first. Obviously, our environment is important, but we gotta take care of us first. And our senior population on the streets is growing tremendously, and it's really terrifying and heartbreaking. Yeah, and the birds, and get rid of the cats. I know there's cat ladies in the crowd. I love you guys too, but you know, we gotta take care of that. That's a thing. Cats, birds, pigs. How many of you get wild pigs in your yard? I do. I had 20 piglets. I have parrots. I have all the things. But people first.
A general question. What is the biggest challenge to our county that you will begin to tackle on day one? And how will you specifically achieve success in meetings that challenge?
Well, the big challenge for all of us is housing and assuring that we tackle the housing crisis on our island. I can share that we, in my past experience, Kolopua right here, we worked on that. It's done. Kaneko'o, the housing senior housing project in Dihui, Kauai in Koloa, and Limaola in Ele'ele. So my point is we have an experience in working close with our community. Housing is a big, big concern. And I think we're addressing all the different levels of housing, whether it be low-income housing, but we're not getting to that gap housing where our kids can stay home. I think the gap housing part we need to talk about and really look into, because a lot of our, there's a high end, there's a low income, but then there's a gap housing that our children, our kids don't have to move away. Like we talked with Mel, right, Brother Mel? So things like that we need to look at overall. But housing to me is just a big, big part, and I'm willing to do what we need to do to reevaluate where we're at, look at the existing projects, look at future projects, but hone in for me on gap housing to ensure that we at least have that opportunity. So that level, so our kids who are working, they're not low income, they're not high income, they're just right there. But they want to stay home. They don't want to move on. And that to me is a big part. So we need to, the resources for gap housing is different. So we got to really be creative and get the right people at the table with the right mind, the right thinking, right understanding, and get it done. And I think that's the big part. Mahalo.
big variety. Environmental stewardship. What is the most important environmental issue facing Kauai, and what would you do about it?
Tourism. Over tourism. I think that Haena has accomplished something that is how you deal with tourists when it comes to protected and preserved areas. And I think that we could follow their example and initiate more ecotourism out here that already have hands-on. And, you know, like I said, it's the people that go through these issues that know best how to solve these issues because they're dealing with it every day. So this isn't something that I can tackle alone, but definitely ecotourism is on my agenda. And I actually gave testimony to when it came to cocoa palms. It's that you know, it's time to decolonize, not just because it's a good idea, but because people are literally for a tiny island in the middle of the Pacific to copy what capitalists are doing on the mainland. It doesn't work out here. That's why we have a landfill crisis. We can't continue to outsource and act like these models that get fast money are going to work out here. It doesn't. In the long run, it's causing a lot of pain and suffering. So I think that what they've done in Haena is the gold standard, and we need to appreciate that and copy that throughout the rest of the island. And I myself, I live in Poipu. I have two indigenous children. My whole job has been to teach my Keikikane, my Kaikamahine, how to take up space in their land. Don't make yourself small just to make somebody else more comfortable.
Infrastructure and traffic. What county infrastructure should be the highest priority over the next 4 years, and why?
Great question, and they're all related, but I would say our solid waste and our wastewater are pretty much tied for number one. We absolutely have to deal with it. We have toxicity in the ocean. We have a lot of incredible problems as we have these big spills that are happening from the inundation and inflow into the pipes, overwhelming the areas. So both of those are really critical, but you also asked for traffic. And I believe what we really need to do is work on reclaiming some of the cane haul roads so that we have evacuation routes, at least to start with evacuation routes for when we're having emergencies. But we really need to have an easement on our traffic. And many of us might remember when we had the Kapaa bypass, for example, and it started off with being gated. I think we can need to do that in a lot more places. So that piece of infrastructure is also very critical. Our water department, we have $1.3 billion worth of needed repairs and increase. We can't possibly pay for that with 75,000 people. But if we don't fix our water, when we're deciding to build more houses, we've done 2,000 houses, either in process, finished, or under planning. Great job. But we have to have, yay. I can do it. Do it. We have to put our water in there before we keep building, because if we keep building without enough fresh water, we have, like, Kilauea, with all the rain we get, is still a water restricted area. We've got that funded, though. We're going to get that fixed. We're on the agenda. But so all of the five of those things are very, very important. Number one, number
two. Last one. Last one of round three in healthcare. North Shore residents face unique challenges accessing healthcare due to distant local services. What role should the county government play in improving health care across Kauai?
Well, that's a great question. Healthcare is a real issue, but we also need different types of healthcare beyond the hospital care. We need more naturopaths. We have the natural medicines right here on this island. You talk about coca palms, that's a natural medicine haven. We should grow more natural medicines. As far as getting people to and from these appointments, we do need more mental health facilities in the area. We need drug rehabilitation facilities. We need kapuna health care as well. So the county is only a small vehicle because the state really controls a lot of the health care and what's taking place. And the health care, again, is being overmanaged and overseen by the United Nations. We are not the United Nations. We're Kauai. We've never been here. We have the natural medicines. We have the natural systems. We do not need outside help. Everybody's looking for government to fund everything. We go and ask for more money consistently. It's not about money. It's about managing our resources properly. Just in the disaster recovery, in the Moku micro-waste management systems, we could do six MOCOs for $125 million and eliminate the whole landfill problem, except for hazardous waste. So we just got to be smarter in what we do, smarter management, and look at each district independently. So what happens here in this MOCO is different than what happens in Kalua, or is different what happens in Puna. Even with disasters, each one is different. Some are more susceptible to flooding. The point is we have to be more self-sufficient. And that means taking back control of the government so we can handle not only health care, but all our issues right here. Thank you.
Everyone, thank you very much for coming. So we do have, we're going to be here for a few more minutes. If you'd like to chat and mingle and speak directly with the candidates and ask whatever questions you may want. Thank you again. So this forum is over in terms of the structured format, but please stay. Thank you.